sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. I'm amazed that, after close to 19 years of exploring a wealth of musicians for Song of the Soul, many of the folk music genre, that I am still able to stumble upon great talent in my own backyard. Bill Iles was into all kinds of music and several instruments back in his youth, but then there was a hiatus of around 25 years where he was focused elsewhere. It took a near-death experience where he had no heartbeat for 2 minutes to spur him back to his passion for music, now partnered with his wife, Kate. Deeply rooted in the soil and water of his homeland in northern Minnesota, Bill tells the story of his life and home through his music. Go to northernspiritradio.org for the full, uncut version of this interview with an additional 8 minutes with Bill. Bill Iles joins us via Zoom from Duluth, Minnesota. Bill, it's great to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's great to be here.
I really appreciate the fact that you took the time away from construction. I noted, however, that since we're visiting on Zoom for this, that you're putting yourself in the midst of the constructions. That's because you couldn't tear yourself away from all that work that's facing you?
Yeah, I got to keep looking around, looking for little things to do. No, it's only because our dogs are downstairs in the house.
What is this construction project you're doing?
This is a two-story addition in the back of our house. And with full basement, which is going to be a studio and office for me, that's what it is, two stories. It's going to be more than doubling the size of the house.
And reading up on you, I found out that you died back in 1993. So this is really good work, considering you passed away all those years ago.
Yeah, that was 31 years ago this June. And I call that as having my clock reset, because I was clinically dead for over 2 minutes. I was on a heart monitor at the time. So when my heart stopped, it shows it going into cardiac arrest on the chart. And then they got the crash cart out, and then yellow clear, and then they, oomph, and it worked the first time. It got my heart beating again. Now they just put a couple iPads on your chest and you're, and play one of our songs, and then boom. So no, it was quite an experience. People ask me, what was it like, you know, having a near-death experience? What I remember was having a really, really good dream and not wanting to wake up. That's the only thing I really clearly remember. And then they said, well, didn't you see a light or anything and hear a voice? And I said, yeah, there was a voice, but I'm not sure when I heard it. But it was a voice coming out of Wisconsin that said, behold, the power of cheese.
Oh, Jesus. You're right over the border. You're in Duluth.
Yeah, I go up my roof, I can see Wisconsin.
Well, you can see Superior, right?
Yeah, that's Wisconsin.
Since this program goes all over the U.S., people who don't know the layout, the very northern, northwestern corner of Wisconsin, across the way is Duluth, Minnesota. And Duluth is kind of the big sister, big brother in this family. Superior is considerably less than it was at one point. And Duluth is higher because you're going right up the hills, up the mountains. You're looking down on Wisconsin.
We're at the very western tip of Lake Superior, so somebody looks at the lake of Lake Superior, and actually, on my roof, I can see the Apostle Islands from here. So if you were looking at a map and looking where Duluth is and then looking where the Apostle Islands are, we're up high enough to see across to the islands.
Did dying have anything to do with your music, pro or con?
I created it.
Were you not a musician before?
I was, but I quit. When I was in my early 20s, I played in a duo with a friend of mine named Rose. Actually, be younger than that even. I was 19 and she was 17 when we started playing together. We were never a couple. We were just musical partners. We were strong. We had a good thing going. We had a good blend of voices. One of our signature songs we did was the It's a Beautiful Day medley of Girl with No Eyes and Whitebird. Speaking of Wisconsin, we played at the Ashland Folk Festival this week, 53 years ago. My dad had bought me a Martin D18 the day before. And it was amazing. He was trying to cheer me up because I was kind of going through a hard time. And he said, what would it take to make you happy? And I said, I wish I had a guitar of my own. That was a good guitar. And he took me down and spent $400 in 71 to buy a D18. And I played it that night, and it was like magic having a guitar like that. And then Rose and I, she was talking about she had never had a standing ovation before. And I remember putting my guitar in the case in the green room, and I could still hear the applause. And I thought that was pretty special. And then it kind of fell apart after that. I got involved in another relationship that didn't work out with me singing with her, and I dropped it. And eventually I dropped it completely back in, after I was married for a couple of years and had a couple of kids. That's the guitar Kate plays now. This Sunday, I'm playing White Bird and Girl with No Eyes with Rose at her fundraiser. She has kidney failure, and I'm going to bring that guitar, and we're going to play that song together. We haven't played it together since then.
How sweet. So this all led to a 25-year or so hiatus, right?
That's right. Yeah, I could quit playing until the heart thing happened, and the heart thing really shook me up. I thought, I remember vividly laying on the gurney with all the nurses and doctors around me looking very grave and telling me what had just happened. You know, I just had cardiac arrest, and I was gone for a couple of minutes. And then things kind of calmed down a little bit, and I remember looking up at the ceiling and thinking, I just died, and I didn't get back to it. And what if I don't make it? What if I die again, right now? Because who knows what caused it, and it could cause it again at that very moment. That stayed with me for a long time. It would be like, I could die again tomorrow. And pretty soon, like, yeah, I could die next week. This could happen again. And then over time, that kind of went away. And I had numerous arteries that were blocked, partly in my heart. And over time, I ended up with 7 stents. But now it's been 12 years, and I've had no problems at all. And I'm extremely healthy and have a lot of stamina. And my nephew even says, like, I have a hard time keeping up with you. I hope I'm as nimble when I get to be your age. I said, well, yeah, first of all, you got to have a heart attack. That's a good start.
It can really change you.
Eat a lot of cheese, get ready for it, yeah.
Well, let's get started with some of your music. My understanding is that you've released 3 albums with just your name on them, and the other 2 or more you've released with Kate's name on them. Why is that?
Because when Kate and I, in 2009, we released a duo album, all duets. It's called Matching Baggage, which is appropriate for that theme. That was great. I mean, we co-wrote a number of songs from that album. And then the next year, I decided to re-record some of my older songs. And she said, well, those are your songs. Even though I'm going to sing on the album, it's really your album. I don't think you should put my name on it because I don't deserve any credit for that. She's a very considerate person. So I did. I released several albums under my own name that she sings on, but I wrote all the songs on.
So what song do you want to start off your Song of the Soul with?
Let's go with Weightless, because Weightless is the most autobiographical of my songs. I was at a bluegrass brunch one day at a friend's house, and I was leaving, and there was a trampoline in the front yard, and a woman was sitting on the trampoline with her baby, about a 1-year-old, and she said, come on up and join us. It's like you can fly. And I said, first of all, I thought, well, if I did that, I'd probably send that baby off into the next neighborhood, you know, if I jumped on there. I said, I used to dream I could fly. I remembered my flying dream at that moment. I used to dream that I could fly. And she goes, so did I. And I said, I don't dream that dream anymore. And she goes, neither do I. I wonder why. So we started speculating about life and why we don't dream that dream anymore. And then I left. The next day, I think, or that afternoon, I headed down to Nashville for a week. And while I was down there, whenever I go to Nashville, I go out to hear a lot of songwriting. And one night I'd been out, I really got inspired because I kept thinking about the dream thing. So I went back to where I was staying with a friend of mine and sat down about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote, I used to dream that I was weightless. I'd just push off and take the flight. That's the foundation of this song.
People get that story real clearly from the song Weightless. It's by Bill Iles, and you'll find him best right now on Facebook, Bill and Kate Iles. I've got the link on NortonSpiritRadio.org. Here's Weightless.
When I was 9, I got a pony. I brushed and rode him every day. But in my teens, I got distracted. I knew my dad would haul the hay. I was gone when daddy sold him, hanging downtown every day. Another kid would feed and ride him. What we don't love will surely slip away. I used to dream that I was weightless. I'd just push off and take to flight. But that was all before the hurting wrapped its weight around my night. Now my feet are firmly planted. The sailing ship stays anchored in the bay. I still recall those dreams, but knowing the memories will fade and slip away. Slip away. The memories will fade and slip away. Slip away. The memories will fade and slip away. Thought that I could fix it, but there it shattered on the floor. Its shape is gone, I don't remember what part goes where now anymore. Everyone thought ours was lovely around so long, it's bound to stay. But we both knew its days were numbered. We lost our grip and let it slip away. Slip away. We lost our grip and let it slip away. Slip away. We lost our grip, let it slip away. I used to dream that I was weightless. I just push off and take to fly.
Back in 2018, Bill Iles released Morning Sketchbook with his song Weightless that you just heard. Really, as you see him performing these days, it's Bill and Kate Iles together, and she's on that recording as well. But there's a certain amount of songwriting music that precedes their duoship or their full duoship. Weightless is one of those things. Well, let's keep going with your music. Want to get all of it in that we can. Where do we go next?
Let's go Sistine Chapel, because why would a guy from Duluth, Minnesota write a song called Sistine Chapel?
That's a good question. Why would a guy from Duluth?
Yeah, there you go. I interview myself all of a sudden, yeah. So I was at a songwriting camp in Colorado. I'd gotten there the night before during a big dust storm, and I couldn't set up my tent, so I stopped in my truck. In the morning, things had calmed down, and I thought, well, I'll go to the breakfast, which was at 7:30, which is basically muffins and coffee and orange juice. So I went over there. I didn't know anybody, 125 students, and I didn't know anybody at all. So I sat there by myself listening to the din of the crowd, and I thought I heard somebody. You know how it is in a din? You hear things that aren't really what they are. And I heard somebody say Sistine Chapel, but they had actually said, hey, pass me an apple or something like that, or Pristine Scrapple, you know. So for some reason, that made me think about the Sistine Chapel. I'd never been there. I'm not Catholic and I'm not Italian. But I thought, I wonder what it was like for Michelangelo the day that he went there to scope out the project, to go and look and see what he's, because I've done a lot of building. And I know when you start, you have to figure everything out and look for, you know, look for nuances and things. And I thought what it was like for him to do that. So I started writing this idea about questions like, what did he see? What did he hear? So I started writing that. My goal was to use that as a parallel of my re-entrance into the music world. The chapel, to me, represents the mind of the audience that I'm singing to. And I'm going in there to paint images on their ceilings with lyrics. And then as I wrote it, I realized it's more to it than that. There's even more. Like when I met Kate a year before that, it was like, I've come into her life and I'm leaving images on her. What kind of images am I leaving? And then I realized, you know, you go to the store and you're buying something, you have that moment with the clerk, and you, what kind of an image are you painting on their ceiling? I remember stopping in Fort Morgan, Texas one time. I think that's the name of it. All that was there was a Hardee's. So we went into Hardee's and they're packed with people because only food around. This girl had a Rachel name tag and she was just working like crazy. And when she handed me my bag and got the money, she didn't even look up. And I said, thank you, Rachel. And she looked up like she was so thankful that I acknowledged her. There's that one image for that one person for that one day. And so that's what the background is of this song.
Well, let's jump right into it. Sistine Chapel. It's from the recording Early Risers.
I should note that there's a Gregorian chant in the beginning, and I wrote that. Kate helped me with the melody. Those are four phrases from later on in the song that we had translated into Italian.
Early Risers is the album. Sistine Chapel is the song. And Bill Iles is with us here today for Song of the Soul.
First time to the Sistine Chapel, I stood and watched the faithful come and go. And even though I knew the mission, still I hesitated at the door. And I wondered, am I worthy? Entered in and I crossed the threshold. Never knew I could ever feel so small. And as I passed through your sanctuary, I saw the works of the others on your walls. And I wonder, am I worthy? Am I worthy of your on your ceiling above. As I lie here on your platform, I feel the breath as it's moving through your lips. A palette full of color, I hold the brush in my trembling fingertips. on your ceiling above. Words on paper, oil on canvas, hammered out or intricately sewn. The artist strives to give us glimpses of the body hidden in the stone. And I wonder, am I? Yes, I wonder.
For me, that's a very evocative song. Sistine Chapel is the song. Bill Iles with us here today. You'll also hear voice of Kate Iles, his wife, on that. But, you know, the phrase that comes back to me repeatedly from that song is the, am I worthy? I was wondering if that's a personal issue of yours or if it's just part of being Minnesota nice or, you know, I mean, you're... You know a person's an extrovert Minnesotan. When they talk to you, they look at your shoes instead of their own.
Right.
Where does the Am I Worthy come from for you?
That was me acknowledging the brilliant songwriting out in the world that's out there. There's so many wonderful, amazing songwriters. I was very influenced by John Prine. I saw him on his first tour back in 72, 73. Bonnie Raitt opened the show. They were like 19, 20 years old. And it was a great concert. And interestingly, Bonnie Raitt's bass player, Freebo, was there. And he's a friend of ours now. And he plays on one of our albums, plays the tuba.
And you know, I've interviewed him too.
Oh, have you? Yeah, yeah, he's great. He plays the tuba. And it's the only person I knew that played the tuba. So when we needed a tuba for our polka, we have a polka about the Kama Sutra. So I thought, I think I'll see if Freebo can record it. And he did.
That's great. Well, and also you're from northern Minnesota. Gee, anybody of note from northern Minnesota who's famous in all the folk music world?
He's a pretty good songwriter, too, yeah. And we, you know, I was talking about Bob Dylan. If we were born 5 blocks and 10 years apart.
Really? That close?
Oh. Yeah, we were born, there's 2 major hospitals in town, and he was born at one, and I was born at the other, 10 years apart.
Well, folks, I want to remind you, you're listening to Song of the Soul, our website, northernspiritradio.org. On our site, you can find a link to the Facebook page for Bill and Kate Iles. And Iles is spelled like British Isles, I-S-L-E-S. Although I understand it's from some German word, some German name. Was it written the same way?
Years and years ago in Germany or Prussia, it was Ilsen, I-L-S-E-N. And for some reason, they dropped the N. I don't know why, but it was Ilse. But when they came to the U.S., they pronounced it Iles, I-L-S-E. But if you say something, Iles, to somebody, and I spent a lot of my life spelling my name for people. And I had one woman, you know, it was I-L-S-E, and I said, Bill Iles. I said, I-L, and I waited until she wrote the I and the L down. And then I said, S-E, and she looked puzzled, and she put the S between the I and the L. So when I went back to music, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to fight this anymore. I did a show in Nashville, and it was a songwriter night. The host said, please welcome our next act. It's Bill from Duluth, Minnesota. It's Bill. Introduce yourself. I thought, I don't want to be introducing myself, you know.
Anyway, you'll find a link to their Facebook page on northernspiritradio.org. They do have a website that is in the process of coming back, billandkateisles.com, but for the moment, you will get Please Stand By at that spot.
Because it crashed when I was in the middle of this construction project, and I haven't not. It takes a long time to work on a website, and I just quickly, in the middle of the night, set up the website and just so people have something to point to and get our email going again.
But on the NordenSpiritRadio.org website, you'll find links to all of our guests of the past 18 and a half, coming up on 19 years. We've been doing both Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action. Thousands of guests that we've visited, people who are doing great music and making our lives richer that way, and people who are trying to make this world a better place with their healing work. So check them both out there, find links to our folks, and please post a comment on our site when you visit. Let us know what you're thinking, who we should be talking to, all of that. There's also a place where you can donate. This is full-time work that's supported by your donations, not by government, not by corporations. We're trying to serve the listeners, not any other conflicting needs. So please support us there. And remember to support the local community radio stations all over this country. Some 35 of them carry our programs. Please support them because they're working off of a shoestring. You can help them tie that shoestring. So please help out that way. Right now, we're going to continue with some more music from Bill Iles of Bill and Kate Iles. What's up next, Bill?
Well, I think my signature song is Hobos in the Roundhouse. This is a song that's been covered by a lot of other people, including Ronnie Cox, the actor, and Monroe Crossing, the bluegrass band. And they played all over the world. And the royalties for this song actually paid for our house for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
But Hobos in the Roundhouse is a song I wrote. I had had a family reunion, and I ran into my cousin Connie, who was my age, and I hadn't seen her since high school. This is back in 2003. She found out we did music, and she said, well, when you're coming through Ohio, come do a concert for my friends. So I went on my way to New York. I stopped at her place, and I did a concert for her friends. And then afterwards, we were talking about our dads. When everybody left, we had a toast to our dads, who had both passed away in a few years prior to this. And I said, yeah, I'm really appreciative of my dad and his brothers. And they're always so kind to other people. They're always helping strangers. My dad would drive 100 miles, 200 miles to help somebody who's stranded. And we stopped all the time on the side of the road to help people. So I learned a lot from that. And she says, well, you know, it goes back to Pop. And I said, how so? Well, Pop was our grandfather, my dad's dad. And she said, did you know that he used to sneak the hobos into the roundhouse at night and let them sleep inside? He was the night foreman. Since then, I learned he had two rules for them. One was no drinking, and they had to be out by sunrise. So he'd let them sleep in the warm, warm roundhouse. It can get very cold up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, very, quite cold. So cold. No. That'd be a different show. So when she told me that story, I was kind of shocked. And in my mind, I just was like, first of all, she had said, aren't you thankful for the heritage of our fathers? And I thought, oh, that's a great line for a song. And before I had a chance to even think about that, she did the hobo story. And then I knew I was onto it. And all the way home from Ohio, I was going like Dorothy, clicking my heels together and saying, there are hobos in the roundhouse, hobos in the roundhouse. And I wrote it about a month later, sitting at Kate's kitchen table. I decided to delve into his spiritual motivation for helping the hobos. Now, why is this guy helping the hobos? A lot of people don't know. Most of the hobos were really young. They were at the peak of the hobo years. Hobos averaged around 14 years old. And they did a survey of 50,000 of them in Chicago at a job service. And that was 14 years old was the average age they left home. And that's because of the child labor laws. They all lost their jobs all of a sudden, and they started hitting the rails to go find work to bring money back to the families. And the generally accepted definition of why the origin of the word hobo is homeward bound.
Hobos in the Roundhouse by Bill Iles.
From 7 to 7, every night of the week, fixing trains in the roundhouse, I work on my feet. And I told my children, I hope the bed bugs don't bite. And I got hobos sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. From Akron and Hinckley and Prairie du Chien, they are soldiers and lawyers, and I believe what they're saying. And I'll rouse them at 4, and they'll head down the line. My hobo's sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. Good night, my hobos.
rest your vagabond heads on your old knapsack pillows in your gunny sack beds. For a few stolen hours, you'll be all right. My hobo's sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. Well, they hired a new man work as a guard. Every morning at sunrise, he checks out the yard. But for now, I won't trust him, though he seems pretty nice. 'Cause I got hobos sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. Good night, my hobos, rest your vagabond heads on your old knapsack pillows in your gunny sack beds. For a few stolen hours, you'll be all my hobos sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. Well, I ask my savior, what should I do? If I'm caught helping hobos, my job could be through. And I heard the answer so clear and so bright. Are my hobos sleeping in your roundhouse tonight? Good night, my hobos, rest your vagabond heads on your old knapsack pillows in your gunny sack beds. For a few stolen hours, you'll be all right. My hobo's sleeping in the roundhouse tonight. For a few stolen hours, you'll be all right. My hobo's sleeping in the roundhouse. Good night, boys.
The world could only be as fortunate to have most people with the hearts that grandfather of Bill Iles has. Hobos in the Roundhouse is the song. It's kind of signature piece for Bill and Kate Iles. Speaks of reality here. This is not just a fictitious story, someone theoretically being nice. When you're risking your job, particularly in the Depression, this is a big reach. That kind of heart is worth preserving and expanding in this world. In your comments introducing the song, you said something about introduction to his spirituality, and I wanted to ask you about your own. Some of it genetically, maybe you got down pass from your grandfather. How would you describe yourself?
I would consider myself Christian. The whole story of redemption and forgiveness is very appealing to me. I think it does well for the world. Now, like any good tool, you can hurt people with it. But that's where we are, both Kate and I.
Were you raised a particularly Christian denomination?
No, we were raised kind of wild and free. When we lived in town, we went to church at the Congregational Church. And I remember loving, especially the Christmas Eve service. My uncle sang in the service. And then we moved out to the country. And I think right about that time, but the Congregational Church had a division at the time. And my mom doesn't like that kind of politic. So we moved to the country, and we never really established in a church again. I used to go with some schoolmates to different things, but never went to church regularly until I had kids. I had an experience when my second daughter was born that was pretty remarkable, and that made me want to find out more about God and about insight. She was born, I just moved back to Duluth, where I was reassociating myself with my musician friends and going out and playing in bars. There's my second child. So my wife at the time and I had just seen the baby in the nursery, and I was going to go out and go play music at this bar. And as we got back to her room, just as she was sitting back in the bed, I can still picture it. I had this overwhelming feeling that I wanted to see the baby again, even though we just walked down the hall from the nursery. She said, okay. And so we went back down the hall, and the baby looked darker. And I thought maybe they'd moved the bassinet thing into the darker area or something, but it was like something was wrong. And this nurse came by and she says, is there a problem? And my wife said, yeah, there's something wrong with the baby. And she looked in and she said, oh my God, she said, and she ran in there and the baby had quit breathing. So if we wouldn't have been there, she would not have survived. So we got out of there and I was like, what told me that? What happened inside of me that made me, what triggered that? And I had to find out more. So I had a friend who I used to get drugs from, and he had become a Christian. And so I went and knocked on his door and I said, I'm going to go to church and find out more. So we went with him and his wife. And this funny thing is the first time I went to the church service, there's all my old friends, all my old druggy friends, and they're all looking happy and not strung out and healthy and happy. And I thought that was pretty impressive.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And thanks for the story of your daughter. So rich.
She's 50 now. That was 50 years ago this month.
Let's go on to some more of the music of Bill and Kate Isles. Where do we go next?
I think we should go to Wilderness Lady.
And I take it that Kate is your Wilderness Lady?
No, she's not. That would be, well, if you were thinking humans, yes. Wilderness Lady is about the muse. I mentioned in our earlier conversation that I was very influenced by George MacDonald from Scotland and the book Fantastas. In that book, he keeps searching for this woman in white that's traveling through the forest. It's a remarkable imagery. I don't want to go into the detail of it, but and that represents the muse. And the muse is often there and then gone again. And you get these inspirations, and then it's no longer there. And so when I was writing poetry, I wrote a poem that was based on, it was called The Rock, and I was sitting on a rock when I wrote it. And that song became two different songs from later on. One became this one song called The Shores of My Hometown, and the other one became Wilderness Lady. And the idea behind Wilderness Lady was that you could sit on the shore of a large body of water and look out at the empty horizon. And beyond that horizon, there could be an island, and that island could be your destiny. And even though you can't see it, it could emit a fragrance, and that fragrance could make it over the horizon and give you sensory evidence of its existence. And that's where I was in my spirit, in my life at the time. I was like, I kept getting these whiffs of inspiration, but I didn't know what to do with them. I had a really complicated life at the time. I just was writing stuff down. And I thought, really, you have to go. You have to go on the journey and find that place that where you're supposed to be. And because I'm on the edge of water and I come from a sailing family, I thought I'll have it be a sailing epic journey kind of a thing.
It's a wonderful, wonderful song. You get to hear Bill and Kate's voices both in this song. And Kate does inspire me as a wilderness lady through her voice here.
Yeah, she plays the role very well.
It is Wilderness Lady by Bill and Kate Isles.
Well, I left my home with a heavy heart from troubles dark and waiting. But the sweetest drifted across the sea from the land of the Wilderness Lady. As I set my sails, a headwind raged. It stressed my vessel greatly. But in times of calm, I closed my eyes. I dreamed of my Wilderness Lady.
Will you find me here among the trees in my forest cool and shady? Will you dance with me neath this canopy? I will be
in a crystal bay. And I thank the stars that led me. Then I swam ashore and I journeyed on to find my wilderness lady.
If you find me here among the trees in my forest cool and shade, will you laugh with me beneath this canopy? I will be your wilderness
set up camp by a brook where it cascaded into the fragrant valley down below to fill the cup of my wilderness lady.
When you find me here among the trees in my forest canopy, I will be your wilderness lady.
In the early dawn, I heard her voice in that space between dreams and waking.
Will you stay?
Got to hear both Bill and Kate Isles' voices on that song, Wilderness Lady. Not surprisingly, the album it's from is called Matching Baggage. I'm wondering if you really did find that you and Kate had matching baggage. Are you both outdoor people? Is that
we are, yeah, but not lately. And we've done a lot of hiking all over the country. Every time we go traveling, we used to drive 50,000 miles a year and do 160 shows on the road. But COVID ended all that. I don't think we'll ever get back to that kind of a thing, but we'll get back to traveling again, but not like that.
Let's keep going for your music of Bill and Kate Isles.
So let's go with Old Fences. That's something I wrote that we sang together. We came home from our winter tour and we went for a walk in our neighborhood, and there's a place, it's about a mile from here, where there's a triangular corner lot. And part of that lot was fenced in by an old picket fence, a really old picket fence. There were sections of it that were laying down in the woods, and there were trees growing up between the slats, and paint was all faded, and but it was beautiful. I've taken many pictures of it. I said to Kate, boy, I love those old fences when they've fallen into a state of disrepair. And she said, yeah, I do too. And I said, you know, I've never written a song with the word disrepair in it. Nothing happened with it at first until we were visiting some friends up by Foston, Minnesota, and we were staying at their cabin, and along their road, there was an old stone wall along the property line. And I love old stone walls too. Duluth has a lot of really beautiful stone bridges. And so that morning, after waking up in the morning, sitting looking out at the lake, I started writing this song.
It's Old Fences.
I like old fences where they've fallen into disrepair. A few slats missing and the wood is weathered bare.
Old fences bring to me
a sense of time, of history, stretched between the posts of faded memories.
But nothing lasts forever, it'll all fall down like wood and stone and metal, returning to the ground. Oh, nothing lasts forever except the finest kind, like the joy I feel when you're on my mind. I like those old stone walls built along a woodland road, cracks of moss growing up and down each side.
Stone walls too, an iron gate to let us through, down a path into a world that's out of view.
But nothing lasts forever, it'll all fall down like wood and stone and metal, returning to the ground. Oh, nothing lasts forever except the finest kind, like the joy I feel when you're on my mind. Fences all about, they keep it in, they keep it out. They let you know how life has been, sometimes they're best for straddling.
Built by kids and cattle kings, with twisted wire and secret things. Safety lies behind the line, what's yours is yours and mine is mine.
But nothing lasts forever, it'll all fall down like wood and stone and metal, returning to the ground. Oh, nothing lasts forever except the finest kind, like the joy I feel when you're on my mind. There's a joy I feel when you're on my mind.
Bill Iles has more of a fascination for stone fences than I do. When I was in Ireland driving along on their very narrow roads and those piles of rocks next to the road, oh, I was having nightmares of our rental car scraping up against those. But walking them is different.
Yeah, a lot of those walls in Ireland were built because the British wouldn't let the Irish just get free food. If you're going to get food, you're going to work for it. So pile up those rocks. If for no purpose, even though they did create some paddocks with them and stuff.
I'm going to hustle us along so we make sure we don't have to cut anything out. When I go too long in my interviews, I have to create on my website a full uncut version of the program. But trying to avoid that, let's do the last song then for your Song of the Soul.
Kate used to be a wine rep, and we were going to a wine tasting in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And I was driving, and she was telling me how to get there. And she said, well, don't go down by the bridge. And I said, stay up high on the ridge. And I thought, oh, maybe it'll be a song. I wrote the chorus right away. And then for about a year, we worked on getting the verses written. She did most of the writing of the verses. And I just did the editing.
So we are getting a taste of Kate's writing here today.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to get a chance to talk to Kate in the future myself. This last song by Bill and Kate Iles is called Floodwaters, and it's from their release, Still Beneath the Stars and Moon. Find more out by following them on their Facebook page, and when the website's up, after this construction project's completed, the website will be reconstructed as well. Thanks so much, Bill, for making great music. I'm so glad that we didn't lose you in 1993, and I'm glad that it's led you to only better places.
Me too. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for my life and the people I meet.
Got the link again via NordenspearRadio.org to their Facebook page and their website. This last song is Floodwaters. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul.
Don't go down by the bridge. Stay up high on the ridge. Don't let those floodwaters carry you away. There's a song you used to sing before you lost everything. Don't let those floodwaters take your song away. High ground all alone, watching as the waters rise, as the tears fall from your eyes. Don't go down by the bridge, stay up high on the ridge. Don't let those flood waters carry you away. There's a song you used to sing before you lost everything. Don't let those floodwaters take your song away.
Memories you kept in frames, things you thought would never change. Your mourning what was never said, now it's washed along the riverbed. Don't go down by bridge. Stay up high on the ridge. Don't let those floodwaters carry you away. There's a song you used to sing before you lost everything. Don't let those floodwaters take your song away.
Song you used to sing before you lost everything. Don't let those floodwaters take your song away. Don't let those floodwaters take your song away.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.